Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that'll be Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Our custom is to spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique. Recall that the Christian way of life has two concepts when it comes to spirituality. The first is relative, and the second is absolute. The relative side is your spiritual growth from a baby to a mature believer, and that's what we're concentrating here on this Bible class. But the absolute side is your status of being spiritual, filled with the God, the Holy Spirit, or carnal, and under the control of your old sin nature and Satan's cosmic systems. So the absolute side, of course, is what we are addressing right now. We want to get in fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit. We do that through a grace provision called rebound, which means you simply think of a known sin, name that known sin, and you're put back into this bottom circle of fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to do that in the church age. We're commanded to do it in the Old Testament, but we're not in the Old Testament. When you do it in the church age, you get an added kicker. In the Old Testament, they weren't filled with God, the Holy Spirit, when they rebounded. They were commanded to rebound known sins, but they were not filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Different dispensation. We are royal family of God. They're simply family of God. So what's our kicker? Well, we are filled with God, the Holy Spirit, when we do that. Do you feel it? No, the filling is a reality, and of course you will grow to understand the reality better as you move along the relative side of spirituality, which is your spiritual growth. Then you'll begin to produce what's called the fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit, of course, deals with things like grace orientation to life, impersonal love for all mankind, a relaxed mental attitude, focus on your destiny, all the problem-solving devices, sharing the happiness of God. Those are the things that are associated with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to get into the absolute side, and then we'll work on the relative side in class today. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the absolute privilege of gathering here to study your holy word. We know that there is nothing more important in our lives. You've given us everything, and you've commanded us to grow in the relative side of our spiritual life to reach maturity. In Christ's name, amen. So we have resumed in chapter 3, verse 7, where he says, again, the dialogue here is Paul is talking about all the credentials that he has as a human being. And his credentials, of course, outshine anybody. And specifically, he's relating his credentials to the false teachers, because either somebody's lying. Either Paul is lying about the Christian way of life, or the false teachers are lying about the Christian way of life. Now, of course, the way I've set this up, you already know who I'm going to side with, because I call the other side the false teachers. Well, we could just call them teachers, but Paul calls them dogs and evil people. We saw that, of course, when he started out in Philippians chapter 3, 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. And what are they preaching? Well, they're preaching that you achieve God's approbation, that means his pleasure, by doing good deeds, basically, and the rituals. It's a combination of their rituals, which are the Jewish rituals, and doing good deeds. That same formula is with us today. Now, they don't go out and sacrifice animals and do all these other things in modern-day churches, but they're all eaten up with doing good deeds. And you know that. From day one, every university has adopted the same thing. You must do good deeds. And it infiltrates everything. It's part of Satan's genius strategy to distract humans. Because if you do all the good deeds in the world, does that put Bible doctrine in your brain? No, it doesn't. And of course, all these good deeds are meaningless because that's not what God is impressed by. God's only impressed by God. And that means that he's impressed when you take his mind and put it into your mind. If you're a do-gooder and a tree-hugger, well, you know, you can do all that stuff on the side if you want to, but that doesn't put Bible doctrine in your brain. I myself do good deeds once in a while. Now, if you're filled with God, the Holy Spirit, whatever you do is rewardable. So that's called divine good, agathos. But what we're talking about is human good, and that envisions people that are not filled with God, the Holy Spirit, and they're in the cosmic system, and they're hustling for Jesus. They're doing all sorts of stuff. So Paul is saying, basically, that the good deed stuff is not the Christian way of life. In verse 7, he continues, but whatever things were gained to me, in other words, all the things that I've got, and the things that he listed before were gained to him. He graduated from the top theological seminary. He was a Jew of the Jews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. So he had a lot of things to brag about. But he said, those things that I have that are gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. The word for loss is zimia, which means detrimental, damaging. Well, how could all these good things be detrimental? Well, they're detrimental because if you focus on them, you don't focus on God. You get your eyes off God, get your eyes on yourself or on other people. And so therefore, they're detrimental. That's what this word means, lost. They're detrimental for the sake of Christ. What does it mean, the sake of Christ? Well, that's what you're supposed to do, is you're supposed to take Bible doctrine and put it in your brain. And so that doesn't help you get Bible doctrine, all these wonderful things. So if you're one of our, multi-rich people in our society today, what does that mean? Now, they could, you surpass them in wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Because just a little tip of your finger Bible doctrine in your soul, even if they're a believer, in eternity, they'll be coming to your hacienda. They're going to be living in the pigsty. So right now, yeah, they're living high on the hog, but not in eternity. So you're accumulating wealth far beyond any stock market gains you could do. So that's the key. That's the real wealth for the sake of Christ. That's what Paul is always talking about. I want to get the mind of Christ. For the sake of Christ, what does Christ want me to do? Well, he wants you to learn Bible doctrine. So these things are nice, but they have nothing to do with that. Verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be loss, same word, in view of the surpassing value. Surpassing value is two English words, only one Greek word. It's a compound word, huper echo, and it means superior, supreme. This is the absolute supreme things. So more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the absolute supreme things, which we translate as surpassing value, but that one word, hupo echo, a huper echo, of knowing Christ. There you go. He's repeating himself. He said the sake of Christ, but what does that mean? Knowing Christ. Now, did he know Christ? Well, we don't know if he ever actually met Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ, in person. We know that he was a young man when Jesus was in Jerusalem, but we don't have any information about that. But we know he met him, of course, when he was converted, and he met the resurrected Christ. But even meeting the resurrected Christ doesn't put Bible doctrine in your brain. You have to know him. So he says, all these things are loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Makes it very clear that he's a believer. But of course, most believers, they don't know Christ Jesus, my Lord. He is your Lord. They don't know anything about him. Because if you don't know Bible doctrine, you don't know God at all. Oh, but I read the Bible all the time. I'm sure you do. But can you give me some of the Bible doctrines that are in the Bible? Can you get your shovel and your spade and dig them out? And tell me what they are. This is a rhetorical question, and we know the answer to most Christians, no. Not at all. So they could dress up as, like the analogy that Paul used and Jesus used. They put whitewash on the outside of the tomb. Looks good on the outside, but inside it stinks. Dead man bones. There's nothing inside of these people. They could put up a great show. They get all dressed up in a three-piece suit and nice little Easter hats and sit around in church. Don't know a thing. Don't know anything. So they don't know Christ. And that's what he says. That's my goal. I want to have this surpassing value, hooper echo of knowing Christ. Gnosis is just the basic word for knowing. Christ Jesus, my Lord. So why Christ Jesus, my Lord? Why in that order? Well, Christ, first of all, refers to his mission. That's the Hebrew word for Messiah. They're exact equivalents. The Greek word is Christos. Our English word is Christ. So they're very similar. That's almost a transliteration. Transliteration is you have a word in one language And it looks very similar to the word in the new language, Christos, Christ, transliteration. Messiah in the Hebrew, Christ, that's not even close, not even close. So Christ is the Messiah, the one that did the work on the cross to save me. Jesus emphasizes his humanity because that's where the sin bearing took place. He had to be your substitute. He had to be a human. And then my Lord, the word is kurios, which means God. He's his God. He's a Savior, and this is Paul's Savior, and Paul's God. Same with us. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now, Paul has suffered quite a bit, the loss of all things. Well, he gave up all that stuff. He gave up a very nice lifestyle in the city of Tarsus. And of course, he went out on these missionary journeys, but he gave up his celebrityship because instead of the Jews ooing and awing over Paul, the great Pharisee, Saul, the great Pharisee, they wanted to kill him. They hated him. He had to turn his back on all those things. And once you turn your back on those things, do you think they rejoice? No, they hate you. The Jews tried to kill him. That's why he's in jail. He's public enemy number one. And yet at one time he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was at the top of the food chain. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I had a lot of money. I'm a Roman citizen. He didn't mention that, but that's a big thing too. Most Jews are not Roman citizens. You get special privileges. Apparently his grandfather did some service to the Romans, and he inherited that privilege. So he was blue blood all the way. He had it all. He had wealth. He had status. He had celebrityship. Education, top-notch, genius IQ. I've suffered the loss of all those things because what's more important? Well, we're going to see that in a second. For who I suffer the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. Rubbish, the word, count, first of all, the word count is hegomaia, which means a chief count. It's an official authority. In other words, he's gauging everything. I'm gauging all the good stuff I have in life, and I'm gauging knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm going to weigh those, which is more important. That's what that word means. So I count, I weigh, I gauge these things as what? Well, there's one of my favorite words in the Bible, rubbish. Skubalon, Skubalon. This is a lousy translation because they're prudes. What does rubbish mean? I mean, you might have a garden and you put banana peels in there and a couple of orange peels and let it ferment and you've got rubbish, right? Or you heard the English say, that's rubbish. That's that old expression. What does that mean? Well, basically it means it's things that are not important. It's rubbish. You're speaking rubbish. That's not what the Greek word means. Skubalon means human and or animal excrement. And it's in the plural, so it means lots of it. Not just a little poo-poo thing, but I mean a whole barrel of it. A big old carload, a truckload of human excrement. That's what I think of all these wonderful things that I just named you. Now, all of us, we could name things that we have that are, I think the term now these days is called white privilege or black privilege or whatever privilege it is, liberal privilege. Liberals have a lot of privileges. They can get away with saying all sorts of stuff. I can't. I'm a conservative. I say one thing, I'm a racist. So I just can't say anything. Liberals, they can talk all sorts of trash. And they're forgiven because they're a liberal. So I call it liberal privilege. So yes, all of us in this room, if I passed around a sheet and you say, well, write down all your privileges. Yeah, you got privileges. Of course you do. Number one is you're in the United States of America. So you have American privilege. Because name another country where you could go down to HEB and get fresh fruit any day of the month. Now, right now, of course, under Biden, some of the shelves are empty, but generally, it's full. I mean, you can go to a Walmart and get the same thing. It's not quite that bad yet. A lot of people want to make out like it's the end of the world. Oh, no, it's not that bad. It's worse than it used to be. I'll grant you that. We didn't have these problems a year ago, but still, even with the problems we have now with supply chain and gas prices, dude, you have American privilege. What's another privilege you got? Well, the healthcare privilege. We've got the best healthcare system in the world. It's not perfect. There's one. How about another privilege? Paved roads. Ever think about that? Many countries, you're eating dirt all day long. And when it rains, it's mud just south of the border. I mean, there's a lot of dirt roads down there. So you've got paved roads. You got hot water? There's another privilege. You're a hot water privilege. And then what else you got? Well, You're law students. You're in terms of privilege above, lighting law students. Where are the rest of the folks in the community? You know, well, if they're not, you know, on the public dole, which is welfare, they might be out doing gas, you know, pumping gas or doing something. So, yes, you have a lot of privileges. I have a lot of privileges. But what does it all mean relative to what? Remember, it's a weighing. Relative to people in Haiti or Ukraine, yeah, we got to make, because they're worried about, am I going to get shot? Yes, we got it. We don't worry about people attacking us across the border. We got the biggest, baddest military in the world right now. So there's a lot of things you don't have to worry about. Oh, I got PTSD. Over what? So, yes, see, the problem with people, with humans in this country, is they don't look at the privileges they have. They look at somebody else that's got something more, and I want it. I wanted to have blue eyes when I was born. It's not fair I don't have blue eyes. I wanted to be 6'9" so I could be a basketball player. It's not fair. And they hate the person that has something they don't have. I want to be tall, dark, and handsome. Didn't work out that way. So it's just your envy, which is a sin. That's a whole back to equality. That's the lie. We must all be equal. Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You lust after what your neighbor has. That's a sin. All the Me Too movement, all that nonsense, they're just washed in sin. Because they see somebody that has something they don't have and they want it. And it's not fair. You got it and I don't. We're going to take it from you and spread it around. That's evil. And many of these students and these universities are eaten up with it. All eaten up with it. And they're just appealing to their approbation lust in their soul to get something that you don't have. Well, why don't think about all the stuff you do have? So you're only 5'3". You know, you can fly a jet if you wanted to, because tall people can't get into jets. Or you could do this, you could do that. Who cares, really? But the bottom line, who cares? Well, you care, obviously. You're all consumed with equality, which is Satan's great distraction for the world. He has lots of great distractions. He's a genius. But whatever he uses, he just wants to get you away from Bible doctrine. Whatever the social movement du jour of the day is, and they come and they go, that's all it's about, is get you off the track of learning Bible doctrine. So he says, all the things I've got, you can just put yourself here, all the things I've got, don't even try to tell me you don't have anything. I just named some things you've got relative to other humans. In fact, you're living in a generation now that you're the top 0.001% of all humans that have ever lived on this planet. So there's another privilege you got. So he says, all these things I've got, more than that, I count as all things as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but human excrement. That's what he thinks about all these things. So that I may gain Christ. Because if you concentrate on yourself and the things that you want and have in this world, then you won't be concentrating on Christ. He says, I've got to forget all this crap because it's a distraction. And what I want to do is gain Christ. That's what I want to do. The word for gain is kerdiano, which means to gain or to acquire. So all human things that you have, celebrityship, is meaningless next to the plan of God. Absolutely meaningless. The only thing that's important is the plan of God. And you want to gain that plan of God, put it in your brain. So he says, I want to gain Christ. And all these things, they're nice to have, don't get me wrong. And if you have Bible doctrine of your soul, you can actually enjoy them. I enjoy a lot of things I have. I don't go, oh, shucks, you know, it's not that good. Yeah, I'm great. I love being whatever I am. And I could give you all my handicaps. Oh, well. But I've got a lot of things that are great. I love my pickup truck. 2004. I absolutely love it. People say, how do you love that piece of crap? It's got 393,000 miles on it. Some bullet holes in the back. I love it. The letters all tore up. But see, if I was arrogant, I shouldn't have this truck. I should have a nice Raptor like JoJo over there. And I'll just go hijack their car, basically. But no, these things are, they're just things. That's it. Well, I got nice clothes, this, that, the other. So what? But I enjoy them. Now, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy my new truck. But right now, I enjoy the old truck. Do I enjoy one more than the other? Probably not. One is, you know, a little, it's got warmer seats on it, maybe, the heat seater, whatever. The old one don't have no heat seater unless I sit on it a long time. So, yeah, but there, it's just, it's meaningless. Who cares? Who cares? Because even if you can acquire all these things and you have all these things, does it put Bible doctrine in your brain? No. Does it make you happy? No. Look at King Solomon. He had a lot more than you and I. Miserable. Miserable. So, you know, males, if you like the ladies, man, he had more women than you could, than Jimmy Carter's got liver pills. And did it make him happy? Oh, hell no. He was miserable. And he had building projects. Did it make his build? Did he go out and say, oh, look at that beautiful bed that I built? Made him miserable. He was a great magician. Miserable. He was a great military commander. Miserable. All this stuff, miserable. Why? Because he had no capacity to enjoy it. What's that mean? Well, he's a born-again believer, and he refused to learn Bible doctrine. And therefore, even with the things he had, he's not happy. Just not happy. So Paul says, look, I can enjoy these things. In other verses, Paul said, look, I've learned how to be happy with nothing. I've learned how to be happy with everything. Because if you have Bible doctrine, you have everything that the world has to offer, that God's plan of God's world has to offer you. And with that, it don't matter whether you are working at McDonald's the rest of your life, flipping hamburgers, or you're a top-rated civil attorney for social justice, or whatever people want to be. My idea of social justice is you get what you deserve. Their idea of social justice is we need to redistribute the wealth, which is communism, which is evil, which is anti-God. Totally anti-God. But they don't care. They don't care what God's view is. It's, what is our view? And where do you think you get your view from? You didn't just make it up. It's Satan's view that you're reflecting, and you don't even know it. You're too stupid to know that you're reflecting and you're a soldier in Satan's army. You could be a born-again believer, most of them are, and they're stooges for Satan because they go around trying to do all these good things. It's human excrement relative to the plan of God. Relative to the plan of God, it is human excrement. That's what Paul says. For I count them all loss, count them but human excrement, so that I may gain Christ. Because you can't advance the Bible doctrine when your brain is in the world. Remember, Christ said, you cannot serve two masters at the same time. You cannot serve Satan's view of the world and God's view of the world. You either love the one and hate the other, and that's the way it is. So if you don't love God, then you love Satan. Oh, of course, you're not going to say I love Satan, but you do. You can't serve two masters. So who's your master? Well, Paul says, Jesus Christ is my master, and all the stuff I've got, I enjoy them. He didn't say he didn't enjoy this stuff, but he said I count it as human excrement relative to what I'm really supposed to do is to learn Bible doctrine, to gain Christ. Okay, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word this morning. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things. In Christ's name, amen.